This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley, sitting in for Terry Gross. In 1964, Motown, a black-owned record company in Detroit, achieved the nearly impossible goal of dominating the American pop and soul charts. Could they keep it up? In his ongoing review of Hippo Select's year-by-year complete Motown singles series, rock historian Ed Ward takes a look at 1965.
Motown didn't waste any time trying to hold on to its leadership in 1965. On January 14th, they released their next number one record. It was a record that almost didn't happen. First, Junior Walker's drummer wasn't able to get the rhythm right, and Berry Gordy sent in Benny Benjamin, Motown's main drummer. Then the vocalist didn't show up, and Gordy angrily ordered Junior to sing it himself or go home. It was so good that nobody made the connection with The Murder of Sam Cooke, which happened soon after it was recorded, nor that of Malcolm X, which happened while the tune was at the top of the charts. There was only one number one released in February, The Supremes' Stop in the Name of Love. But there were two top ten records, too. Martha and the Vandellas' Nowhere to Run, Marvin Gaye's I'll Be Doggone, and this one by a new signing which just missed the top ten.
What are you gonna do when I'm gone? Whose shoulder are you gonna cry on? What are you gonna do on the day when I turn my head and just walk away now?
Brenda Holloway is one of the many talents Motown never really had any idea what to do with. In this case, she's singing a Smokey Robinson song on a track he'd produced for Mary Wells, who'd left the label the previous year. But this was an example of how Motown was getting stronger, too. By joining proven songwriting and producing talents with artists, Motown was simply adopting the Detroit automobile industry's approach. Over here, we have the Supremes, working with Holland Dozier and Holland, a division of the company which also produces the Four Tops. And over here, we have the Smokey Robinson division, which makes not only its own product, but is having remarkable success with the Temptations and produces a few other artists.
If it's love that you're running from, there's no hiding.
But this also meant that the developing and second-tier artists weren't always paid enough attention. Some of the records that fell through the cracks were by established artists who hadn't hooked up with a star production team, like this summertime stomper by Martha and the Vandellas, which should have done a lot better than languishing in the lower 20s.
Bye.
Martha and the Vandellas had a past and would have a future at Motown, as would another semi-neglected group, the Marvelettes. Going through this series, I've been struck by another girl group almost no one has ever heard of, who made a number of great records for Motown over the years, the Velvettes.
As I sit here in my
Motown's big success story in 1965 was, in retrospect, getting the Four Tops established. The group had a long history before Motown, singing supper clubs and other high-class establishments, and it took a delicate touch to turn them just funky enough for Motown's audience. This was the year they succeeded, hitting with Can't Help Myself, It's the Same Old Song, Something About You, and this from the beginning of the year.
When you feel that you can make it all, remember, no one is big enough to go it alone. Just ask the lonely, they know the hurting pain of losing a love you can never regain.
Just ask.
1965 turned out to be a watershed year for pop music in general, and Motown would start 1966 having to adapt to some serious changes if they wanted to stay on top. Still, they'd shown that their first few gold singles were no fluke, and there'd be a lot more where they came from.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. He reviewed Motown singles from 1965 from Hippo Select's Year by Year series.